This morning we hear the familiar story of what is known as the cleansing of the temple. It is one of only a few stories recounted in all four Gospels. But our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, which has several significant differences from the accounts in the other three Gospels. Most striking is that for the fourth evangelist, this action of Jesus occurs at the very beginning of his ministry. In the three synoptic Gospels, this story is placed in the beginning of Holy Week, shortly after Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem and is associated with his passion. In fact, it is one of the major events precipitating his arrest. For John, however, it occurs immediately after his first miracle, turning water into wine at the wedding at Cana, a story told only in John. For John, it is another glimpse of the true identity of who Jesus really is, the authority with which he acts, and the challenge that authority presents to the established order. So just what were all these money changers and livestock salesmen doing in the temple anyway? Bear in mind that in Jesus' time, Jewish worship was centered on sacrifice to God as prescribed in Torah, the law. And the temple in Jerusalem was the only place where sacrifice could be made. When one was offering sacrifice, either animals or grain or oil, only items of the highest quality were acceptable. Animals had to be without blemish. Many people traveled some distance to get to Jerusalem, and dragging animals along with them would have been impractical and would have most likely resulted in animals arriving in conditions unsuitable for sacrifice. Therefore, animals were available for purchase in Jerusalem. We are told in our reading that this episode occurred near the time of Passover, the defining event in Jewish history and a major annual celebration. Jerusalem would have been thronged with visitors for the holiday, and vendors would certainly have been doing a brisk trade. Money would also have to be exchanged. Secular money usually was stamped with the images of rulers. Graven images were, of course, forbidden by law. Besides bearing an image of the emperor, Roman coin was also inscribed with a declaration of his divinity. Doubly blasphemous. The temple minted its own money, and all secular currencies had to be exchanged for temple coinage. This system had been going on for quite some time before the time of Jesus. There are hints of it in some writings of the prophets, of similar activity dating back to the time of the first temple, some 600 years and more before the birth of Jesus. Historical evidence seems to indicate, however, that this activity usually took place apart from the temple, either across the Kidron Valley or on the Mount of Olives. Apparently, it was only relatively recently that the vendors and money changers were permitted to actually set up shop within the temple precincts. And this permission seems to have been given by none other than Caiaphas, the high priest. Of course, we will hear more of him in a few weeks. Jesus, appearing at the beginning of his ministry and engaging in such an audacious action as John reports it, carries with it special theological significance. For the fourth evangelist, we already know Jesus to be the very Word incarnate, made flesh and dwelling among us. We know the source and identity of his authority. In this action, Jesus speaks with the same strong prophetic voice as those who came before him, calling the people to repent and return to the Lord, to cleanse their temple and their hearts, to live their faith and not just their religion. But Jesus adds to the prophetic voice the very authority of God. We must remain mindful that for John, Jesus does not speak for God as the prophets before him. Jesus is God. In what may seem a rather incongruous and jarring shift of gears, while considering our lesson this morning, I have been struck with the idea of spring cleaning. Yeah, it's that time of year again, isn't it? It is always a wonderful time of year when we can open the doors and the windows and fill the house with fresh air and try again to bring some semblance of order and clean to our lives. Of course, we get to do that a lot more frequently than many other parts of the country, considering it's still snowing in Philadelphia. In our reading today, we are told it was near the time of Passover. During Passover, which lasts 8 days, observant Jews are forbidden to consume or even own any leavened products. Such products are called chametz. The truly observant engage in special house cleaning rituals the day before Passover begins to rid the house of any remnant of chametz. Cupboards are swept with special feathers to remove the last crumbs of any offending material. Ordinary dishes are locked away, and the house is thoroughly cleaned. Any of the remaining soon-to-be-forbidden products are taken into the yard and burned. Hearing this reading, especially in the middle of Lent, seems to call us all to a spiritual house cleaning. It is a call to honest self-examination, to cleanse the temple of our bodies, hearts, and souls. It is a call to open the doors and windows of our hearts and let the fresh air in, the ruach, the pneuma, the very breath of the Spirit of God, to sweep away the last of the chametz from the dark recesses of our internal cupboards, to expel the money changers and vendors that inhabit our temples. It is a call to make the temples of our hearts once again houses of prayer, and worship, and thanksgiving. Amen.